This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Hello and welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Toastmasters Podcast. My name is Bo Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
And we have another great show for you today. Ryan, who are we speaking with?
We are speaking today with Chris Witt. Chris Witt works with business leaders, CEOs, presidents, executives, owners, and senior managers who want to speak in a way that advances their organization's success. He also works with high-level technical professionals, senior scientists, engineers, and programmers who want to present sophisticated material in a way that non-technical audiences can understand and use. Chris is the author of Real Leaders Don't Do PowerPoint, How to Sell Yourself and Your Ideas. Founder and president of Witt Communications, Chris combines a background in education, counseling, and ministry with advanced training in public speaking, communications, and emotional intelligence. With over 29 years of professional speaking experience, Chris has published 3 books and numerous articles, including Not All Ideas Are Created Equal, which appears in the September 2010 issue of The Toastmaster. Chris Witt, welcome to The Toastmasters Podcast.
Welcome, Chris.
Yay, thanks. It's great to be here.
Great to have you on the show. Chris, I noticed in reading your excellent article that there was a parallel to our last interview with David Brooks, the 1990 world champion of public speaking. You both advocate a similar strategy of writing your speech idea on the flip side of a business card. Now, David's suggestion was specific to writing your speech purpose, what you want your audience to think, feel, or do differently as a result of hearing your speech. And yours is more suggesting writing your speech idea on the back of the card. So I thought maybe you could help us understand what is the difference between a speech idea and a speech purpose.
I actually would add a third one in there. So the purpose, I guess what he's talking about, is what you might call a goal or objective. Exactly. What do you want the audience to do, think, or feel differently as a result? And it should just be one sentence. The content of that is what does the audience need to know or feel to do that? So that you can talk about a lot of content in that. But then the idea is the unifying theme or just the one main point in it. So, for example, I work with companies that are making bids on huge government contracts. The goal of that presentation, you know, they may send in a team of technical experts to talk anywhere from an hour to a day to the customer. The goal of that thing is very simple. It's to win the contract. So on the back side or flip side, you say, what do I want you to do? I want you to give me this contract. And then the content is, what do I need to tell you about my proposal, about my company, about how we're going to do it to convince you to do that? So that would be the content. But the idea would be one central theme, and it would be something like, our proposal is going to give you all the benefits, everything you're looking for in this contract, at the best value. That would be the simple unifying idea, that now everything I talk about is going to substantiate that we give you everything you need at the best value. So I can talk about innumerable things. I can talk about very complex, sophisticated things in that, but it all keeps getting back to that idea. We give you basically everything you want for the best value.
Gotcha. And correct me if I'm wrong here, Chris, but I believe the key is to write really small. Is that the main focus, or am I incorrect on that?
It's the main focus. It's just the guiding principle.
Okay.
And, I used to say, in 25 words or less. Now I'm getting it down to in 12 words or less. What's that one idea that I want to leave this audience with? If they don't go away knowing that, you know, this is the best value for them, I haven't given a good presentation.
And the purpose of this, of course, is to keep things simple, to keep it short, to keep it understandable, as opposed to making it overly complex, where if you did write the whole idea in a full page, it would just go over the heads of the listeners and of the audience.
Absolutely. We can break it down. Again, it can be a complex idea. Again, if I'm doing an hour or a 3-hour presentation, which sometimes I do, mm-hmm. there can be a lot of material in that, and it can be complex. What I don't want it to do is be complicated,
okay.
Which means, you know, it's so hard for me to follow or the audience follows. You know, we're getting so we're presenting more and more sophisticated ideas, and more we're doing it through presentations. Presentations aren't the greatest way of giving a lot of sophisticated ideas. People just aren't trained. Our attention spans aren't that good. We're not that good of listeners. That, you know, we're kind of overburdening our audiences if we do try to do too much.
Mm-hmm. Could you repeat that last part? No, I'm just
kidding. Yeah. And Chris, a little bit off topic, but what would you say are better forms or mediums of communication for highly complex information?
Well, you know, unfortunately, we've overburdened PowerPoint, but, you know, in the old days, there used to be white papers or research papers mm-hmm. that we would actually write up things, and you can present things in a written form that people can mull over, read, spend some time on. So, for example, even if I need to show you the material on an Excel spreadsheet, you know, I cannot project an Excel spreadsheet onto a PowerPoint presentation and have people read it. I mean, how many times have you seen someone just cut and paste an Excel spreadsheet, put it in PowerPoint?
Right.
It looks fine on their computer screen, but, you know, then they project it, and inevitably the person says, you probably can't read this, but.
Right.
Here it is anyway. I decided to waste your time anyway and show it to you.
Right. Exactly. Those are my least favorite words. You know, you can't read this, but. It's kind of like saying, you can't hear me, but I'm going to keep talking anyway.
Exactly.
Right. Right. Well, that reminds me, Chris, that type of situation of maybe technical charts and graphs and schedules are something you might see in a meeting of a project manager giving an internal update to a project team. I wonder, using your advice of keeping to one central theme, when you've got a complex project with lots of different moving parts, lots of deliverables, how would a project manager who needs to give this presentation hone in and focus on one central theme for the presentation?
Well, the one, again, you can have complex material and a lot of different materials, but what's the organizing principle behind this? So if I'm doing this, first of all, what do I want the audience to do with it? Do I want them to assent to my assessment of this? Do I want them to give me the green light for the next step? What's my goal? So that's mm-hmm. the purpose thing. But then how am I going to advance that? So it's kind of my assessment. So if I'm giving a project update, you know, with all these things happening, and here's this report, here's this status, here's this, it might be, the overall theme might be, you know, we're on track and we need to keep going with that. That might be my central idea. Now I'm going to present all this different things that collaborates that general idea that we're on track. Or it might be indeed that we're in trouble, and if we don't do something immediately, this is going to go down the tubes. So that would be the central idea. And then everything else that I present in that is, as I say, adding to that, advancing that idea.
Very good. Chris, you frame your article in terms of making sure your speech idea has four components: clarity, coherence, supported by evidence, and interesting. So I wanted to talk about each of those, see if we could touch on each of those. I think for most people, they hear the terms clarity and coherence usually in the same breath. Make sure it's clear and coherent. But could you maybe help us understand the subtleties and differences between clarity and coherence?
Sure. Clarity is just the simple, I got it. You know, you just want the audience to be able to say, I got it. I can't tell you how many times, because I work with technical people, I can't tell you how many times I've sat through a presentation, even to non-technical audiences, and I've gone away saying, what was that about? I didn't even know what the product or the thing they were talking about was. I just didn't get it. So that's clarity. Does the audience understand it? Then the other thing, the coherence is, does it hold together? Both logically, is it logical, and is it, do the pieces add fit together and add up? Now, it helps if your idea is coherent to make it clear, but to be honest, I've seen some speeches that were clear. I got the idea of what you're getting at. I could sum it up, but it wasn't coherent in the sense that things didn't hold together. You know, you can get emotionally people on board with you, mm-hmm. and logically kind of make them check out. I mean, politicians, shysters do this all the time of, you know, getting people saying, yeah, that's what we want. And then you say, if you start breaking down their arguments, they don't make sense or they don't hold together.
Right.
So it can be very clear and incoherent, or it can be coherent and still not clear because it's you just didn't tie it all together. An example of a coherent but unclear thing is I work with technical people who give tons and tons of details, and, you know, it makes sense in their mind because they know how all those details tie together. But they don't tell us, the newbies to this information, how it all adds up and they don't give us a framework for pulling it all together. So it's coherent, but it's not clear. And sometimes you can be clear without being coherent.
Right.
Is that clear, Bill?
It's coherent. If something is very clear and it's not coherent and you sell it on your audience, that means you're one heck of a good speaker, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, if you could sell them a really good message.
You appeal to their emotions or you tell stories and you kind of, you know, you get them to move into that, I hate to say, the kind of the non-rational mode.
Right.
And
right.
Especially if you've got a whole bunch of people fired up and then you got the crowd moving, you can get people going, yeah, we want that.
Right.
Now, Chris, I sense that the next component, which is to have your speech idea supported by evidence, sort of feeds into coherence, does it not?
Yes, it does.
Do you want to talk about?
Then you say the central idea of your speech is generally what I call an assertion, just a flat-out statement. You know, we provide the best value for this such and such. Well, then you've got to imagine your audience kind of being from Missouri and say, well, show me, prove it to me. So the evidence is part of the prove it to me. What is going to back up or substantiate that claim you made? Depending on your audience, this is where your audience and their makeup determines, and the purpose of your speech determines how much evidence or what kind of evidence you're going to support. So if you're giving a technical kind of dry update, it's just kind of you go into your Sergeant Joe Friday, just the facts, ma'am, sort of thing, and you just present as much verifiable evidence as possible. But, you know, let's say you're a motivational speaker. You're going to make an assertion. You have to do this to have a good life, for example. That would be. Well, the evidence I'm going to give is I'm not going to give a lot of scientific stuff. I'm probably going to give more anecdotal evidence, you know, stories, images, quotations. You know, that's evidence of a different sort, but it's very appropriate to that audience and that purpose.
Gotcha.
Very good. Chris, one of my favorite suggestions in your article, but I have to say it left me hungry for some examples, so I'm hoping you can give some to us, is the notion of taking an idea that's already familiar to your audience, because a lot of the times the ideas we're presenting aren't necessarily new, but giving it some kind of a twist to make it fresh, to make it relevant and resonate with the audience. Could you maybe give us some examples of how you could take an otherwise known idea and give it a twist to keep it fresh?
Yeah, you have to keep it fresh because it really is. If you are just saying what your audience already knows, then I have to say, why are you saying it? Mm. I mean, we are overwhelmed with already too much information, too many meetings, too many presentations. So if I'm just going to say what you already know, you know, why am I saying it? So I've got to do something that makes it new or fresh or gives you a different perspective on it. And I've come up with a couple of suggestions for that. One is simply to give a new application. So how to do this? So for example, if you're talking about public speaking, you know the importance of connecting with your audience. That's nothing new. That's been out for, 3,000 years, ever since people have been analyzing speeches. You know, the need to connect with your audience is known, right? So it's not new. But how to do it might be the new idea. So, you know, the guy who does speaking circles talks about, you know, planting your feet, feeling your feet on the floor, taking a breath and knowing that you're breathing and speaking every word into the eyes and hearts of one person. And it's just a new way of doing it. It's not a new concept. It's just new application. So that would be one. The other might be, a new metaphor for it or a new image for it. It's, instead of saying, connecting with your audience is like shaking their hands. It's like such and such. Give me a new way of thinking about it, a new overall metaphor for it. Okay, I can shake hands with my audience. To shake hands with my audience means this, this, and this. Or it may be a new story attached to it that... I tell a story about being out in the ocean and with my brother, and we're caught in a riptide, and we swim out of it, and then we see someone else being caught out, and we're from the side, we learned how to get out of it, and we're yelling at him to, come on over here, you'll get out of the riptide, and he doesn't pay attention to us, and he's kind of drowning. We go in to the riptide with him and tell him about it, and then kind of get him to swim out of it with us. And, to me, that's just a way of saying, to establish rapport, you've got to kind of enter the mess with people to let them know you're with them. You got to stay a little bit of distance so they don't, jump on you and pull you under with them. And then you got to kind of lead them step by step where you think they need to be. It's just a new way of getting them to think about it. It's, I would tell a story. So there's got to be a new way, a new twist. Otherwise, you're going to bore your audience, and a bored audience is a tuned out audience.
So that last story, Chris, is that a true story?
It is.
It is, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. It makes it even better.
It does. Yeah.
That's one of those things. If people aren't telling stories in a speech, I don't know why they're speaking. Even in a technical briefing, I can get people to tell stories of how they came to something. But in a regular speech, which Toastmasters generally are giving, if you get up and don't tell some story along the way, I think you're really shortchanging yourself and your audience.
I agree. So, Ryan, is that enough examples for you, or do you want some more?
No, that was great, Chris. Yeah. Thank you. But, Chris, I have to say that I left this or finished this article thinking to myself, geez, I wonder if you could take pretty much any idea, and if you make it clear, coherent, support it with evidence, and make it interesting, turn it into a successful speech, even if it starts out seeming like a bad idea. Would you agree with that, Chris, or do you think there are some speech ideas that are just – bad ideas, no matter what you do it?
Well, I have to, there are bad ideas out there, unfortunately. I'm thinking if you are honest about it and reflective about it, if you go through that process and say, okay, what exactly is my idea? How does that hold together? Is it logical? Do the pieces connect logically? Am I not omitting stuff? Evidence, am I truthfully selecting all of the evidence, not just cherry picking the stuff that supports my ideas and ignoring other things? Am I accurately assessing that information and presenting it honestly? If it actually engages people's interest, which means it applies to them, I think I'm going to come up with a good idea, and I'm going to let go of a lot of stupid ideas. But there are a lot of bad ideas that are out there and getting spoken about. And I hate to say, to use an egregious example, Hitler just moved people like you wouldn't believe. And I hate to say, and he had some really bad ideas.
Right.
Were they clear? Yes. Amazingly clear. Were they coherent? Well, kind sometimes, yes, sometimes less so. Were they supported by the evidence? Well, by some of the evidence that he wanted to present and wanted to appeal to the prejudices of his audiences. Were they interesting to them? Oh, yes. Was it a bad, evil idea? Oh, yeah.
Mm. It reminds me, once I did a table topic of a gas-powered ceiling fan.
And?
A stupid idea, but it was very entertaining and interesting, and it went over pretty well. So I think could I have turned that into a 5 to 7 minute speech? Me? Sure. But
yeah.
Or a successful product?
Successful product? That's a different story.
It's funny because as an executive speech coach, sometimes I'm working with the CEO and they'll have this idea and such and such and such and such. And just kind of the outsider, I'll say, oh, that's an interesting, instead of saying that's a stupid idea, that's an interesting idea. What, can you tell me the evidence that supports it? Because I'm helping you fashion this. I need some evidence. And I don't understand this. And it's amazing how in coaching them that way, I can get them to change their idea, because sometimes they just haven't thought it through clearly.
Right. Mm. And that's actually probably a good evaluation technique to throw into speech evaluations as well. You don't tell somebody, hey, that was a stupid speech, or is it based on a stupid idea? You could, you know, do it eloquently like you just said.
Yes, I mean, that's in Toastmasters, one of the advantages is we get the chance to get people standing up and talking about what they care about.
Right.
And you do not want to shut them down and just say, you know, that was the stupidest idea I ever heard. You know,
right.
They're never going to come back, and that's not appropriate. What you can do is you can just start saying, you know, your ideas seem to be this, but I didn't see how point two, which was about this, connected with point three at all.
Hmm.
So, you know, to strengthen that, I think you need to strengthen that connection. Or, you know, you presented this and this, but, you know, you didn't even talk about this, this, and this as evidence.
Right.
So you can – this actually arose out of an article I was trying to write on how to evaluate a speech.
Good.
Interesting.
Without, as I say, just coming out and saying dumb idea.
Yeah, of course.
Right. Chris, I want to hear about your book, Real Leaders Don't Do PowerPoint. That's a provocative title.
Yeah.
Oh.
Tell
yeah,
us.
It was basically coming out of my work with CEOs, and I guess the subtitle would really be Real Leaders Give Speeches, Not Presentations. Because to me, a presentation is about presenting information in a way that people can understand it and use it. And the higher up the food chain or the organizational chain you get, I think you're less concerned about presenting information, and you're more interested in shaping the way people think and feel and act. And to do that, I don't think you want to appeal to just the rational, you know, was it left brain raping? I can never remember that.
Yeah, it's a left brain.
You don't want to just do the facts. You want to appeal, you want to tell stories. You want to move them emotionally. You basically want to address their imaginations.
Mm.
And PowerPoint doesn't do that. It keeps people, you know, very prosaic, very down to earth, plodding along.
Oh, but animation, Chris.
Animation.
Animation sparks the imagination, right?
Yes. Well, you know, animation in a PowerPoint is just one of those, you know, you've got a boring idea,
right.
So let's just put some frou-frou around it and hope people don't notice that the idea itself is threadbare.
Then it's just an animated boring idea. That's it.
Yes, an animated boring idea, but we've kind of tricked you into believing it's something really is going on.
Right. I gave a presentation to some Boy Scouts a couple of weeks ago, and I had animation on one of my PowerPoint slides. PowerPoint slides, that was probably the first mistake.
So you're not a real leader, Ryan.
That's right.
Let's just get that out in the open.
I was asked to do some PowerPoint slides for it. But when the animation, it was just on that one slide, but as soon as it started, there was like this groan that was let out. That's so lame.
Oh, Ryan. Well, Chris, this has been wonderful. Really good stuff. And where can our listeners find out more about you? Do you have a website you want to point them to?
I have a website. It's witcom.com, WITTCOM.com. I also have a blog that's www.lifeafterpowerpoint.com. www.lifeafterpowerpoint.com. So either of those places, they can get more of my ideas.
Great.
Fantastic.
Well, it's been great stuff, Chris. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it all.
All right.
All the best to you, sir.
You take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye. All righty. That was Mr. Chris Witt. Great guy.
Yeah.
Good conversation. Good stuff. And you could find his article in what edition, Toastmaster
that
magazine?
That was September 2010.
September 2010. And what was the title?
Not All Ideas Are Created Equal.
Very good. All right. Well, that does it for this episode of the Toastmasters podcast. Thank you very much for listening in. And Ryan, if somebody wants to give us feedback, how could they do that?
There are several ways. First of all, you could call our listener feedback voicemail line at 1-888-451-8862. You can send us an email, podcast@toastmasters.org. You can post on our blogs at toastmasterspodcast.com. Or, of course, you can hit us up on Twitter, twitter.com/thetmpodcast.
All right. Very good. I'm Bo Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Take care, everybody. We'll see you next time on the Toastmasters podcast. Bye-bye.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.